Well, one day you are going to leave this business. It may be upright or it may be horizontal, but you're going to leave this business.
Welcome to the How Money Works podcast with Craig and Jennifer Moser of Maestro Wealth Advisors, serving you throughout the triad of North Carolina for more than 30 years.
We do a lot of conversations about taxes. I'm really excited to have Addison with us today and just kind of wanted to have some conversation. So he's a transplant. This dude shows up here from New York, Albany, New York, and comes down here to work. Addison's got obviously he's got a CPA, but he's got an MBA. He's a poli-sci major. He's got a law degree. I'm like, oh my goodness. You know, I've got a smart guy with me. I hope I don't act like I'm crazy here talking to him. But at the end of it, you know, we want to bring people to our show that can help you to understand and get yourself further down the road. So, you know, I appreciate you being here.
Well, thank you. I appreciate the opportunity to be here today as well.
Absolutely. So let's just dig right in. You know, I was thinking about, you look at how fast this year is going, you look at all the things that have happened with COVID and you know, it's a political year, you know, we've got an election at the end of the mm-hmm. year, and stuff can get away from you too fast. But as a tax planning CPA, and let's pretend we're in January. If you were sitting down with a brand new couple or client and saying, here's the process, here's what you should be doing with someone like me that'll help you, and then just kind of explain what you do from a process standpoint to help people to make good decisions, and then who's on the team?
Okay. Well, we're very much a relation-oriented profession. And it's really the relationship we develop with our clients over multiple years that makes the difference. As you mentioned earlier, a tax preparer is really just selling a commodity, a tax return.
Agreed.
And while that's important, I mean, you can go to jail if you don't prepare them, it is not really what we want to base our practice on. Our practice is helping clients succeed where they are and growth for the future. So we look a lot to how we can partner with them and help them through the different phases of their business, the different phases of their lives and their careers. Mm-hmm. You know, the tax planning advice I'd give a 25-year-old is not the same I would give a 55-year-old.
Of course.
You know, and same thing with business owners. I mean, we've got so many. I love working with business owner clients where I can help them on the business side, and then I do their personal returns, and then I'll even help them with their estate planning and succession planning. So we view it as all one continuous process throughout the life cycle of the client relationship.
So, you know, before we started and went on the air today, we were talking about business owners and saying, okay, it's a different animal than somebody mm-hmm. that, you know, works in is just a W-2 employee.
Right.
They have a lot of moving parts. You know, they wear a lot of different hats. And a lot of times the value that they have when they approach retirement, because that's something that we talk about a lot here on this show, their value is really tied up in that company.
Yes, absolutely.
And so, you know, one of the real big planning issues that I know you guys work on is how do I make that business a paycheck that somebody could have out, you know, for 20 or 30 years in retirement. What do you do from a succession standpoint to help a business owner? And more importantly, how do they get to keep some of the perhaps net worth that they've developed in that company, you know, and not just pay a great deal away in taxes?
Well, the first thing you've got to do is you've got to find out what their intention is, what their desires are. Because when you have a business, and, you know, I've got business owners that just completely ignore the issue of transitioning out of it someday. And it's like, well, one day you are going to leave this business. It may be upright or it may be horizontal, but you're going to leave this business. And so those that plan ahead typically have a better result. But again, the first thing you want to find out is, are there kids in the business? Are we looking to transfer it within the family? Is this a very profitable business that maybe you've got competitors that are looking to buy you out and incorporate your business into theirs? Or are you looking to sell to some sort of a hedge fund or money manager that's looking to buy the business, maybe tune it up over a few years and then flip it? You know, those buyers all have different desires. And as a seller, you've got to figure out how to position your business for the best market that you want to sell it into.
Right. And then from a tax perspective, a lot of people started with nothing. I know we did. I mean, we just showed up and had a telephone and a computer, and off to work we went maybe 1983. And so, you know, as time has progressed, you know, we have more clients, we have a big business, but we don't really have a lot of inventory like a car guy does, or, mm-hmm. you know, somebody that has a big old bunch of apartments somewhere, and you can say, there's the value that I have. How do you deal with a business owner like that to say, okay, you really just have a book of clients or a goodwill or something like that? How do we get that person in the right place? And especially from the tax side, since they don't really have a lot of hard assets, how does that transfer over? Is it something you can answer on the radio?
it's one of those things where if you've got a book of business, you're probably looking to sell to a competitor, somebody who wants to take that book of business. That's where your value is. Like you said, you don't have value in a lot of hard assets. There still could be a family component to it. I have seen, you know, financial advisors where their kids also get into the business. So there could be a transition. And a lot of times where, you know, the transition is between family members, it's the younger generation that's going to be the one that's paying you out over the next 20 to 30 years.
That could be a little touchy, I bet.
There are definitely some family dynamics, particularly if you've got multiple kids, one's in the business, one isn't, you know, for estate planning purposes, they want to treat the kids equally. But if the, you know, if the oldest is getting the business and the youngest isn't, you've got to figure out how to fund that with life insurance or some other way so that both children get essentially the same amount from your estate.
Sure. Yeah. So that's beautiful stuff. And then it's the T word.
Taxes. Well, the sale of a business is almost always going to incur taxes. It really depends on how much you can drive the process. There are two general types of sales of business, an asset sale or what we call a stock sale. If it was an LLC, it would be an equity interest sale. Owners always want to sell the business because then it's capital gain treatment. It's easy to figure out. Sellers never want to buy the business. They want to buy the assets because, and two reasons for that. One is liability. If you buy an existing business, any latent liabilities that that business has from years past now become your problems.
It's like Bayer and Monsanto, to look at it hugely. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
So, and the other reason is for depreciation purposes. If the buyer buys assets, that resets the depreciation clock. You can allocate the sales proceeds to the assets, and you basically get a step up in assets for depreciation purposes. Whereas if you buy the ownership of the business, you're stuck with the fully depreciated assets, and your sales price hasn't really gotten you any deductions for it.
What are some of the big old fat mistakes you've seen?
Well, certainly mistakes come in. You know, business owners don't like to pay taxes.
Yep.
So a lot of times they try to make sure to keep their profits as low as possible. Well, when you go to sell a business, a lot of times the sale of the business is a multiple of your earnings. And if you don't have any earnings, you don't have any great multiple to go off that. So we always try to couch our business owners that I don't want to say they need to clean up their books, but they want their books in good order. They want an individual consultant to come in to be able to look at them and give a fair appraisal of what the business is worth, what the operating in cash inflow of that business is. But also they want to make sure that they're paying a reasonable tax, but not overpaying taxes. And so we want to make sure we're doing things like fully funding retirement plans. Retirement planning is one of the biggest things I drive home to my clients because it's the only provision in the tax code that lets you keep the money. I mean, if you buy a piece of equipment, if you buy a vehicle, you have to spend the money. And if a year later business is not looking so good because of COVID-19, you're not going to be able to sell that piece of equipment or that vehicle for what you paid for it.
Or as quickly.
Right. But with a retirement plan, you literally are taking money out of your right-hand pocket, you're putting it in your left-hand pocket, and the government lets you deduct that. And it's the only deduction like that in the tax code.
Yeah.
And like we just saw with the CARES Act, if you're having struggles right now with COVID-19, you can pull $100,000 out of your existing retirement account, and it won't be subject to the early distribution penalty, and you've got 3 years to repay it. So that's a great resource to help you get through a really tough few months if you need it.
Can you get that money out even if you haven't had a COVID event? I never understand exactly how that works.
Well, you don't have to be infected with COVID, but you have to have some sort of a downturn or some sort of an economic situation because of the COVID crisis.
Oh, I see.
And quite frankly, I think that's going to be pretty easy for most people to quantify because we've all been impacted by
it. Exactly right. We had someone come in not too long ago, and it was an interesting conversation. I keep going back to this real estate only because I really see this a lot. Somebody has worked. They had maybe a property at the beach, or they had a office building or something like that. They've gotten cash flow out of it. They had rental income. They've depreciated it. So it's really been a profitable thing for them to own, perhaps. But now as they get maybe into their mid to late 60s or early 70s, they're like, yeah, I don't like it when the phone rings and I have to go fix something. Mm-hmm. Or I'm always having to, and then all of a sudden it chews on you to the point where you say, I want to sell it. I don't want to own. And I'll use the beach property as an example. So here you are, and you have this piece of real estate, and you put a sign in the yard. Somebody says, yeah, I'll buy it, and they write you a check. And it's interesting, especially if it's an investment property, the reactions people have. So we had a lady that came in, client now, and she has office buildings, fully depreciated over 30 years, and, you know, $650,000, I want to sell it. And I said, have you looked at the taxes? Well, you know, not much in capital gains. And I said, well, you depreciated it, right?
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, it was $170,000.
Yeah.
That Uncle Donald gets if, if, you know, she sells it outright. So then the question is, how do I not do that, still get paid? And so we started talking about 1031 exchanges.
Yes, 1031 exchange is really the best way to go about that, but now it only works for real estate, and that's why the beach house is a great example. It used to be you could do a 1031 exchange on any like-kind property, and so, you know, we would have clients that would have, for example, trucking companies. You know, when they buy and sell their tractors, they were able to trade them in, get a like-kind exchange, not have to pay the tax on it. Well, now they can't do that. They've got to pay tax when they sell a vehicle, even if they replace it with another vehicle. So the issue then really becomes 1031 is great for real estate transactions, but that's the only one it still qualifies for.
Right.
The caveat to all that, though, is you can't take the money directly. You can't sell the property, get the money from the buyer, put it in the bank, and then a month later say, hey, you know, I want to roll this into another property. I want to do a 1031. You're too late. You can't do that. You've got to have a qualified intermediary. Usually it's an attorney. They will receive the funds, and then you've got certain hurdles that you have to make over time to elect a new property and then close on it within certain periods of time. But if you do that, you get to defer all the gain and not pay tax on it until the replacement property is sold.
As we say down here in the South, we swapped it.
Yes.
And as long as we understand what the rules are, and we follow those rules, you know, then it works out pretty well. So we work in this area a fair amount. So we've had some experience. And so if you're sitting there today and you have a piece of investment property and you're going, I'm planning on selling this, before you just do that, let's look at a couple of venues and options to you. Let's go and run the numbers and understand what the tax liability might be if you sell it. And then if you say, yeah, I don't want to continue to own this property and I don't want to be in the direct ownership of real estate again, there are other choices. So one of those choices is a Delaware statutory trust. It's called, you know, in our industry, we say DST. You can see why we say that. But you get to participate in a piece of real estate. Now, this isn't a real estate investment trust. This is an actual piece of real estate that we'll have to find, just like you would have to find, but you and other people would pull your dollars together and buy it. You don't have any direct ownership by means of having to pay the tax bill and all this other stuff. Everything that we would buy would be triple net leases. And then, you know, you're getting a rental check every month. Most of it won't be taxed, and you were able to defer, not pay those taxes that you would have otherwise had to pay. So you get to sell your property, you get a tax benefit, you get a cash flow, all that's good, but now you're invested in another piece of real estate. You know, when you look at owning that next piece of real estate, it's interesting what happens. What happens is, you know, if you were to pass away owning that real estate, whatever the value is on your date of death, that's called a step up in cost basis. And you would get that just as you would on your pieces of real estate. The other thing is real estate is not the most liquid investment. So if you want to sell it tomorrow, you're probably not going to be able to sell it tomorrow. So what ends up happening is you own a piece of real estate. Once it's sold, then your family, if you've passed away, could reap the benefit of getting that money, and the adjustment in the cost basis would be, you know, in their favor. So you have to understand how to do this. It's not incredibly complex, but you need to make sure that you don't make any mistakes. So that's why someone like Addison at Sherrard McGee would be a great guy to talk to if you're looking at doing something like that. There's tons of qualified CPAs that can do this, but I know for a fact this man knows how to do it. So, you know, it's always nice to have done one. I've got a guy that works in our office here, and he's a pilot. And I said, you know, I read a book on flying a plane. You're going to go fly with me tomorrow? And he says, as long as I can sit in the right seat and hold the other wheel, yeah, but if you're up there by yourself, I'm going to be about 30 miles away, you know, because even if you got it off the ground, the landing's going to be pretty tough. Mm-hmm. So you have to have experience in these areas. So as you're working through and thinking about the rest of your year, things that you probably should be looking at would be, for example, you know, investment portfolios got kind of ugly. Yes. in February and March. You may or may not have had much recovery since then, depending on what you did. But the other side of that is, if you have taken some losses, which we're fast to take losses here,
okay,
because I can always buy them back. You know, so if I like that stock, but it got hammered, I might go ahead and take it, wait 31 days and buy it back, and I get to use the tax loss for something.
Mm-hmm.
You know, as you get into perhaps the end of August, into September, and say, okay, I need to have an idea of what my gains are on some of these things. Do I have losses to offset those, and have a game plan going into that last quarter of the year to make sure that I have best I could taken advantage of all the tax rules and not have to pay taxes on something, you know, and maybe carry a loser into the end of the year, sort of is the way to say it. Did you sell a piece of real estate? Did you make a profit on a stock sale? Maybe you bought the Delta Airlines stuff that we told you to buy maybe a month or so ago and have sold it for 40%. Hey, so all of that type of stuff. And so as you look at your end of year, a tax planner and a checklist and have an inventory of the things that you've already done, that would be a good thing to do, don't you think?
Oh, absolutely. We meet with a lot of our clients in that last quarter. And one of the first things we do is we have the investment advisor send us their year-to-date gain loss statement,
right,
so that we can see where they are. And a lot of times you ask the advisor, are there any dogs in the portfolio that we can lost harvest before year end because,
amen,
we've got these gains? And so that's always critical, because one of the things you really want to be concerned about is you want to time your gains and losses in the same year. Because if you have a loss this year, that carries forward and can shelter future gains. But if you have a gain this year and then a loss next year, well, you've already paid tax on that gain and you don't get to recover it with the loss next year. You have to wait till you have the next gain to recover it. So you always want to make sure you're timing your gains and losses so that they coincide within the same calendar year.
That's what financial planning is all about. So Addison approaches it from the tax perspective, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
We approach it from the get your numbers right, make sure that you know what you can and cannot do. And so these are all things that, as we talk about in our case, retirement planning, you know, that we hope that you have gained some information from us, you know, as we do our shows each week.
Thank you so much for checking out the podcast today. If you have any questions about what we've discussed, remember, you can get a complimentary financial review with the team at Maestro Wealth Advisors by calling 336-448-1086 or go online to howmoneyworksradio.com for other great resources and ways to reach the team. You can also check the show notes of today's episode for our contact information as well. And don't forget to subscribe to the podcast on your favorite app so you never miss an episode. We're on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts, and all the most popular apps. For Craig and Jennifer Moser, I'm Mark Killian. We'll talk to you next time on the How Money Works podcast.
Craig Moser is an investment advisor representative of Retirement Wealth Advisors, Inc., an SEC-registered investment advisor and a registered representative of World Equity Group, Inc., member of FINRA/SIPC. Maestro Wealth Advisors, Retirement Wealth Advisors, and WPTI are separate entities and are not owned or controlled by World Equity Group, Inc. References to investment strategies and options should not be considered investment advice or a recommendation to buy or sell any specific investment. Information provided is not intended to be tax or legal advice. For tax advice, consult with a qualified tax professional. For legal advice, an attorney. Past performance is not a guarantee of future results. Investments will fluctuate so that when redeemed, they may be worth more or less than their original cost.